The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we are continuing. The plan is to continue with the mitzvos of the king, but we were in the mitzvah of the king writing his own Sefer Torah, which is not in Hilchos Malachim. So let's reread, not relearn, the first halacha of Ksiva Sefer Torah, just so we can see it in context. Mitzvos is in Sefer Tefillin, Umizos of Sefer Torah, Zion Aleph. Mitzvos say, I'll call Ish v'Ish Mitzrael, Liftov Sefer Torah La'atmo. Right? So it sounds like you have to write your own Sefer Torah. Shnemar v'yata kisvu lechem es ha-shira hazos. Klomar kisvu es ha-torah, sheish ba shira zo. Means write this Torah that has this shira, lefish ein kosvin es ha-torah parshios parshios. Because we don't write the Torah in parshios. So we raised the question last time, which the Torah Tamima raised, right?
No,
we didn't like his answer, but the question was good, which is, if this were a mitzvah to write this shira, then you would be allowed to do it, just like you have a mitzvah to write tefillin and mezuzos, and you write those as parshios, parshios, yes. Right?
We like the
Rabbah. We like the Rabbah who says, right, that the kol haTorah kula is called a shira,
right.
And the Ksav and the Kabbalah give a different explanation of the Rabbah, which we didn't necessarily understand, but yeah, okay, fine. But the Ram is not saying it. We did say we were going to look at the Yad Pshuta on this. By the way, let's do a book. What is it called? Rabinovich Pathways. Yeah, so I was given this as a gift. Pathways to Their Hearts by Rabbi Nachman Rabinovich, the author of the Yad Pshuta. And he wrote it in Hebrew, but it's translated to English, which is about his approach to Pesach and many other things. And so I'm looking forward to getting into that. I'll probably share bits of that. Okay. Klomar kisvu es ha-Torah. Let me just see if that's too long. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at it on my own. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get caught up on that another day. Needlessly, if it's needfully, then we'll do it. Right. The afal pishi nichla lada mavos of Sefer Torah mitzvah lechtov mishalo. Even if a person's father left him a Torah, it is a mitzvah to write his own. Now that one we do need to look at the notes because is it? Let's see. Amar Rava afal pishi nichla lo. He just quotes the source, right? Because we said that there's two ways to read the Rambam. There, one is that really he holds the only mitzvah is to write your own Sefer Torah, which could mean to write it or could mean to commission it. And then this is just refuting a Havamina that the purpose is to have a Sefer Torah. And so he's saying, no, that you're not Yotze. Or the other way to understand the thing is that there's three tiers, right? That there's the writing it, then there's the like writing it totally yourself or doing the Haggah, and then there's commissioning it, and then there's just getting one. Right. But we saw the whole... I don't know if this is the right use of the term rigmarole, but that's the word that came to my lips about of the issue of the Torah Tamima theory that it's to produce more Torahs in Israel, right? So it's mashma from the, if I just had to read from the Rambam, it sounds like he's saying you have to write your own Torah, you know, and commissioning it would be, you know, fine, yeah. But just getting one is not enough. What was it? Right. That's what it sounds like. The FP, okay. Yeah, the Alpha P. No, no, sorry. I keep on forgetting that he says it again. The Alpha P. Shinichlo Ladam Avosa Sefer Torah Mitzvah Lichto. No, I just read that. Bim Kaso Biada. That's the third one. If he wrote it by hand, Hari Hukilu Kibla Misinai. Bim Ino Yidei Lichto Acherim Kosvin Lo. So those are the only two options practically, right? You either write it or you have someone else do it. And then the middle option within that is Kol Magia B'Sefer Torah Afilo Osachas Hari Zekilu Kasvo Kula, which is just a strange, strange thing. Yeah. Right, because it's you got two kilos now, kilu kasu kulo, and then if you do that, it's kilu kasu kivu misinai, you know, yeah. All right, now we get to the melech. Hamelech. Over what? Okay, we could try to figure it out. Okay, we could try to figure it out. Yeah, yeah. You know, are you reminded of anything else when he says kilu kivu misinai?
No,
I'm reminded of Hakel. I just want to compare his lashon by Hakel. I think there he says it's as if you heard it at Sinai, but maybe he says kiblu, kiblu. And if it's kiblu, then very interesting. Because this is going to be in korbanos because it's individual korban and it's at the end of chagiga. So he says, "Gerim she'ina makirin." This is in chagiga gimel vav. Gerim who can't understand Hebrew. Wait, is that where it starts? I'm not going to read all the Hagel halachos, but the gerim who don't understand Hebrew chayavin lahachin liban lahachiv oznam lishmoa be'imav yirag v'gila bira'ada. They are obligated to prepare their minds or their hearts to attentively listen with their ears, to listen with dread and fear and joy and trembling, kiyom shenit nebo b'sinai, as if it is written, was given at Sinai. Like the day it was given to Tina. Afilu chachamim gedolim shiodin kol haTorah kula chayavin lishmoa b'chavana gedol leisera. Even great chachamim who know the entire Torah are obligated to listen with great excessive kavana. Misha eino yachal lishmoa, and anyone who cannot listen or understand, mechumen libo lekriyazo, he should make his heart intend focus on this. Shlo kaba kasav elo chazik das emes. The pasuk only established this to strengthen the true religion. Vira atmo kilo ata nitstava ba, and he should see himself as though he is being commanded in it now. Mipi hagvura shama'a, and he's hearing it mipi hagvura. Shaham melech shliachu lahashmiya divrei hakel, because the king is like an agent to there's another king halacha. He's an agent to make heard the word the words of God. So he does not use the lashon of Kabbalah Satorah. Right, kiyum shen Torah, but it sounds like it's in terms of the experience of hearing the Torah, you know, not Kabbalah Satorah per se. So Kabbalah Satorah is a more abstract term. Right. Right. That's an interesting thing. You could take that approach. I don't quite see the idea of cost in Kabbalah Satorah.
Well, I think that.
Or
you don't have to say that because that's only from the writing.
Yeah. I mean, the way I would, this is where my intuition goes, again, not based on anything, but like, you know, this Torah is being produced for you, you know, and this is your Torah. Like, so I feel like it's the personal connection to the Chavetz Shel Torah that like, or to the Dvar Hashem that is, makes a kilu. And then at Sinai, that was each Jew heard Mipi Gvura, you know?
Right.
So that's where my intuition would go for that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Kol Magia B'Sefer Torah, Afilo Os Achas Harizek Ilu Kasvu Kulo. So I understand halachically how that's true, but because each, you need each letter to be, you know, to be kosher in order for it to be a Chavetz Shel Torah.
Right.
But I wonder if this has to do with like a recognition of the integrity of the Torah Shebichtav and how like you need everything, how every single component is necessary to have a Torah. And like in a certain sense, obviously this is not true literally, but in a certain sense, if you know you don't have any part of the Torah, then the entire thing is like null and void. I mean, in terms of the way the Rambam formulates the Ikar, anyone who denies even Os Achas, you know, it's as if he's denying, you know, that's a covert Torah. But I wonder if this is like a, you know, it has anything to do with that. Okay, so those are speculations. Okay. Hamelech Metzuva Lichtov Sefer, glad you pushed me. Hamelech Metzuva Lichtov Sefer Torah Acher La'atma L'Shem Hamelech. So the king is commanded to write another Sefer Torah for himself in the name of the king, or for the sake of the king. Yeser al Sefer Shailo Kishu Hedyot, in addition to the one that he had when he was a Hedyot. Shenemar V'haya Kishivta al Kisim Ma'machtov V'chasav Lo V'gomer. As it says, when he sits on his throne of his kingship, v'chasavlo as mishnei haTorah zos al sefer milifnei haKohanim halavim, he should write this this copy of the Torah on a book from before the Kohanim Levim. V'haisa imo v'karabo kol yimei chayav, and it should be with him. He should read it all the days of his life. Laman yilmad liyira as Hashem elokav, in order that he should learn to fear Hashem his God. Lishmor as kol divrei haTorah zos, to keep all the words of this Torah. V'es hachukim ha'ele lasosam. And these chukim to do them. Levilti rum levavo me'echav, so that his heart does not become haughty over his brethren. Levilti sur min ha-mitzvah yamin u'smol, and so that he doesn't deviate from the mitzvah right or left. Leman yarech yamim al mamlachto, so that he should prolong his days on his throne in his kingship. Hu abanav mekerav Yisrael, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And side background question here is about the Rambam's decision to call his book the Mishnah Torah. I think that's just another good question here, you know, about like, you know, I always wonder, like, how many of these references is he? Because certainly he says it's called the Sefer Torah because it's a restatement of the oral Torah. But he knows the pasuk that this is from a term from about the written Torah, and he knows that the King's Torah is designed to promote limud yiras Hashem and prevent haughtiness and to not deviate from the mitzvos yamin u'smol. So I understand limud, I understand Yira. I understand not deviating from the mitzvah of Yamin Usmol. The Levilti Rum Levavo Me'echav is an interesting one, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like you could do an interesting drush on the calling the Mishnah Torah the Mishnah Torah. Okay. So then Rambam says, Magin Oso Misefer Ha'azara Al Pi Beis Din Hagadol. So they check it from the Sefer Ha'azara based on the Beis Din Hagadol. According to the Beis Din Hagadol, or by authority of the Beis Din Hagadol, right? So that's the one that the official Sefer Torah that ideally it's the one that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, because Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a Torah. He wrote 12 Sefer Torah for all the tribes, and they put one that was either in or next to the Aron Bris Hashem, and that's the Sefer Torah. Yeah, okay. Vze Shahaya Lo Kishu Hedyot. This one that he had when he was a head yot, menicho beveska nazav. He should put it in his treasury. Vizeshkas of Oshinichtav, lo acher shemalach. And this one that was written, that he wrote, or that was written for him after he became king, Yehi Imotami. By the way, you see from here that he's just clarifying that the king can also have it written for him. He doesn't have to write it himself.
Oshinichtav. No.
The hedyot doesn't have to carry it with him all the time.
What do you mean, like, without the hedyot?
Because I guess he's not. Yeah, it's a good question. Why does he have to say what he does with it?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess this is my intuition. This Sefer Torah has to be halachically defined as his second Sefer Torah. So, like, I guess the havmin is that you could, you know, like, give it to a shul or sell it for one of the purposes that's much to sell Sefer Torah for, but okay. It's saying that he has to keep it. So this is his second Sefer Torah. That's what I would think. So Vizei Shekas, so this one that he wrote or was written from Yehi Imotami should be with him all the time. Imi Yatsa L'Milchama, when he goes out to war, Sefer Torah Zeh Imo. This Sefer Torah should be with him. Someone needs to do I could just do this on Dali or something like that. A king holding a Torah and fighting the battles. That'd be pretty epic. Nichnas, when he comes back in, v'huimo, it's with him. Yeshiv Badin, when he sits in judgment, v'huimo, it's with him. Mesiv, when he's reclining, v'hu connecto, it's opposite him. So he doesn't have to, like...
I imagine it's more like a banner board.
More like a what?
Banner.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
If he had not finished his Torah before he became king, like, then he would start...
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the way he formulated is Yeser al Sefer, Yeser Sefer Shahaya Elohedio. So you're saying if he never ended up getting that one?
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good Shiloh. I accept the Shiloh. All right, we'll see if I can find anything. Oh yeah, okay, good. All right, so let me finish reading. Shnemar v'hayisa imo v'kara b'chum yachav. Lo haylo sefer Torah la'atmo, but you anticipated. That's good. Kodem shem lach. He did not have a sefer Torah before he reigned. Sarech lichtov achar shemalach shnei sefer Torah. He needs to write two after he becomes king. Echad minichu b'vesku nazav v'sheni hi imo tamid. One in his treasuries, the other one is with him constantly. Lo yasur mi imo ela b'layla. He should only leave him at night. The only three times he can't have it are when he goes into the bathhouse or the bathroom or when he sleeps on his bed. I wonder why he puts that halacha here instead of in all these examples of accompanying him. Yeah. Now let's just read the one halacha. I think he has one halacha in Milchamim. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. That would have been fine also. Okay, so let's see what if there's redundancy here, because I think there is. But Ish Yeshiv, this is in Malachim Muhammad's Gimel Aleph. Ish Yeshiv Melech al Kisei Melchuso, Kosev Lo, Sefer Torah Lishmo, Yeser al Sefer Shenich Lo Avosav, Umagiho, Mi Sefer Hazara, Al Pi Basin Shal Shivim Ve'echad. Im Lo Hinich Lo Avosav Sefer, Osha Avad, that's an interesting thing, he lost it. Kosev Shnei Sefer Torah. So that's very redundant, right? So this is, I feel like, an application of the principle that whenever the Rambam codifies halakha in two places, then there's a different like identity to those halakhas. I'm curious what that is.
Is this halakha saying that if the king inherits the Torah from the previous king, is that for his own another royal one?
Good question.
Because it seems to be saying like Yimlo Nicho Tavse Rosha Vakotiv Shnei Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
Which inherently doesn't work for the normal Sefer Torah, but which would mean that it has to work for the king of Sefer Torah.
What do you mean it doesn't work for the normal Sefer Torah?
As if you inherit one, you self-write one.
Right.
But this is saying that if you don't inherit one, or you lost it, you have to...
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're saying for his Hedyot Torah, then isn't he going to end up needing to have three?
Yeah.
Right?
No, I'm more thinking this in that this means that for the king's Sefer Torah, he doesn't actually need to write it, it just needs to have been written by a king.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because it says, Imo Nikolo Tal Sefer, then he has to write two, which imply that if they did leave one for him, then he doesn't have to write.
Right, it doesn't imply
but
that.
But it doesn't work for the Hedyot one, so that's the work.
Right.
So they only use the king one for
right. That, I think that's a good deal. Let me just...
No.
Right, but just from the Rambam though, the Rambam I think is saying like Yosef saying right, if his fathers did not give him a sefer, did not bequeath him a sefer Torah, then he writes a second one. But if they did bequeath him a sefer Torah, then he would not write a second one. Right. Yeah, I think it's a good deal, though, right?
I mean, maybe not.
Because
of I mean,
let me see. No, that doesn't say it. What about the Radvaz? No. There's no Yapshita Lacha Mishnah. All right, well, I guess I gotta see if I can find that. What was the first thing I said I was gonna look into? Oh no, that one was answered. Yeah. Okay, and then let's just finish reading this though. That's the end of what we're at. Yeah. Okay, so if I can find anything about that tomorrow, we can do that tomorrow. I want to show you something unrelated. For some reason, people were sharing this article today, even though it seems like this was a discovery in October 2022. So they found new handwritten Maimonides texts at Cambridge from the Geniza. And the thing that makes this unique is they found the Rambam writing in a Romance dialect. So it's a list of the, I'll just read this here, a scrap of 900-year-old paper, part of Cambridge's Cairo Geniza collection, has been identified as containing the handwriting of legendary Jewish philosopher Moses Maimonides. The pages are a glossary of basic terms related to herbs, basic foods, and colors, and were identified by Jose Martinez Delgado, a visiting professor. So the thing that's cool about this is how he discovered it. So I saw this article. So it says, I decided to have a look at a list I made when I visited 6 years ago of lexicographical Geniza fragments to see if any of them might be suitable for the book. And I saw in my list one I described as an Andalusi script. I looked at it and something about it seemed familiar. At the last line, I realized what I was looking at. I had seen this handwriting before. I quickly sent a messenger to my friend Amir Ashur. I didn't say what I was thinking. I just asked him to look at the fragment too. He said he checked and then came confirmation of my suspicions. Amir had seen what I had seen. We were looking at Maimonides' handwriting in some sort of Romance dialect. We decided to publish the discovery together and wrote the paper in 2 days. So he recognized the handwriting of the Rambam, and they have samples here. So I think these are two. These are the this 163.57 is the document he's talking about. So pistachio, I don't know exactly how to say pistachio, and then in another manuscript that they know is the Rambam or lachem, meat, and the way that the Rambam writes it there. And so they ask, is this proof that he spoke Spanish? And they say, first of all, it's not Spanish. It was some Romance dialect, but they're still trying to figure out what it was. And then this is the cool thing. So it says, the glossary covers four semantic categories, colors, flavors, aromas, actions, and food. Why was Maimonides collecting these words? What does it tell us about him? The sequence of words is, professor answers, the sequence of words is interesting as we are seeing him at work, writing a progression of words that make sense to him. The terms don't follow alphabetical order. They are arranged logically by basic associations, bread, water, and opposites, black, white. The category of colors ends in light and dark, and then moves to flavors and aromas. The connection between these is presumably the senses moving from sight to taste to smell. The list of foods moves from basic foods to vegetables to edible seeds to seeded fruits to dried fruits, nuts, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, the list of actions first describes the actions. Oh, no, sorry. That's not the part I wanted to read. This is the part I wanted to read. So is this proof that he spoke Spanish? So he says, we don't know if it's Spanish. And he says, the words are simple. And second, if anything, this is an indication that Maimonides did not speak a Romance dialect. The words are simple: bread, water, meat, egg. These are basic words, and it seems he was trying to acquire them. He wrote out his list of words and then filled them underneath as he learned the translation. Some categories of terms are not fully translated. He wasn't able to get translations of all the action terms. We know of different Spanish visitors to Egypt during Maimonides' time. It's possible he was getting input from different sources, so it may not even be one Romance dialect represented. He's also writing down what he hears, so there are some idiosyncratic transcriptions and also some errors. He writes the pair eat and drink, but drink is incorrectly translated with the word wine. He didn't know enough of the language to realize the translation error. So they speculate, he says, why was he collecting these words? He was a physician with students, so perhaps he was gathering the terms for a medical or educational reason, or perhaps he just enjoyed quizzing visiting Spaniards. Just an interesting, one of those like little glimpses into like, you know, the like something about this is very like humanizing in an interesting way. Like, oh yeah, Ron was like taking notes. Like this is like, they didn't have Duolingo. So he's just like, you know, learning other stuff. So I thought it was just cool that the recognizing the handwriting and then like asking another professor without telling him, like, I'm not telling you why I'm asking you this. What do you think? And then he's like, oh, that's the Ron's handwriting, you know? Yeah. And it is distinct handwriting. Like just this picture, this is not the fragment. This is a Mishnah Torah. I can't tell whether it's distinctive, but like you could imagine how someone could look at this and be like, oh yeah, these are distinctive words here. Yeah. Anyway, just thought that was cool. Wanted to share. Yeah.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is @Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.